Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining me, of course, is Pat Hamilton, the producer of VFN Radio Program.
Hello.
Who has given a blood sacrifice.
Yes,
for what we're doing. I mean, we're not obviously the blood of Jesus,
right? Right.
But he did bleed on several occasions.
Several occasions.
Several occasions.
I don't know what God's saying here.
He bled. He bled in his hands, like Jesus bled from being nailed to the cross. He bled in his head, like a thorn of crowns. Only thing you have left is your feet.
Uh oh.
You're lucky somebody
nails.
I better pay attention to what I'm doing.
Yeah, I better pay attention to what we're doing. But when rescue got there, everything was resolved.
Yes.
Yeah, and if you don't know, he's wearing a wig today. It's totally shaved.
Totally gone.
Totally gone.
Looks good.
Hey, it is, and also Steve Kalaszewski's joining us today. John's a little under the weather. You want to keep him in your prayers. You know, Steve did two tours of duty, which is a tongue twister for me to say that all the time.
You're doing well, though.
I know. Isn't that amazing?
Oh, yeah.
And that in Iraq, and he's filling us in. If you missed it, you got to hear this whole previous, the first parts of the program, we're talking about it. But today's Veterans Day, and we want to focus, we want to really dedicate today's program on Christian Television Network and on VFN Radio around the world to, you know, what does it mean? What does Veterans Day mean? It's like, so many people really think about it as like, do I get off?
Yeah, right.
Can I go do something? It's like, really? Is that
do
what you're
I get paid for this day?
Yeah, do I get paid for this day? And we're finding out, if you missed it, you can go back and hear it. And hear it on the VFN Torch, or just go back and listen to the program and watch the program. But these soldiers are just living on the edge so that you can live in your condo. They are training day and night and putting their life in jeopardy and many times giving their lives so that we can be free. Freedom is not free. It's just not free. And, you know, obviously there's not a ton of, it takes a lifetime to explain just one tour, I'm sure. But Steve's talking to us about what it was like for him to be in Iraq, and you gotta hear it. It really just puts you there, but also how a three-year-old's perspective shifted everything.
Yeah,
and you can see this young boy's picture on the torch. But he's sitting there with his bowl of food, just kind of feet crossed over each other, watching this man all cammed out in his jumpsuit and his weaponry with five other guys, just trying to survive the moment. And keep America free. And just took things into perspective there. But then you have to come back. Then it's time you're going to leave. You know, being in law enforcement, I won't talk too much about me, but I can kind of relate, because every night I had to come back. Every night I would go straight out. And this should help you empathize with your law enforcement officers that are out there, because they're the ones that go out every single day.
Exactly.
But they're not away for a year or two in the whole zone where you can be in 24 hours a day. They got to shut down and shift.
It's the other street.
Yeah, it's the other street.
Right.
Sometimes across the street.
Yeah.
And in the context of that they have to reboot, like Steve's about talking about, how, as a soldier, and kind of like listen to the standard, nothingness of sometimes people's existence.
Is that really what you're talking about?
I just almost died on the streets out there. And so here you were, going through all that, and now you've got to come back to America, and you had to avoid the news, because the news is like, are we even being supported in this war? Is the Congress even supporting us? The ones that sent us here, are they supporting us? It makes no sense, because the whole purpose of declaring war is that we as a nation are saying, this is something we need to do.
Right.
Therefore, it's something we need to fund. We need to do it. We need to get done with it, and we need to come back home again. But those lines are getting so blurry nowadays. And to be a soldier on the front line, listen, these vets are to be admired. Mm-hmm. They're to be honored. And today is a day, the Veterans Day. You can go to va.gov and find out there's a parade or celebration around you today. If some of our listeners and viewers are in Washington, D.C., I encourage you to go to the memorials and just be there. And you'll see some vets come up, but just be there and just soak this moment in and realize freedom's not free. And right now there is a whole outright assault on the freedom of America, and the adversary would love to be able to take our freedom away. And if we don't understand what it takes to keep freedom, and that's what Steve's talking to us about, is we'll lose it. Right. We will lose it. And so many people want it. Few want to fight for it. And few understand it requires being able to fight for your freedom, because right. freedom's not free. And so here you are coming from that environment, this intense environment, and you're going to be just, you know, what happened? How does that work?
Well, to me, that was the hardest culture shock, was to come back to my quote-unquote own culture. And to understand that is like when you're in an operational team, when you're in an operational deployable unit, as like you just came back from war, is that everybody had their own responsibility. Everybody was on the same page. Everybody was in unity. Everybody understood the fact
as one.
Correct. That the team was elevated above self.
I was for you. You were for me. And by the way, that is the... People say, well, what are you fighting for? And you're fighting for your brother.
Exactly.
You're fighting for your brother. And when the church gets this, and we'll talk more about this because it's very powerful, that's why God tells us that we have to love each other, because our battles will make no sense if you don't love your brother.
Yeah.
If you don't understand we're in this together.
Mm-hmm.
And God says, you can't even love me if you don't love your brother.
That's right.
So you can see. And that's why we measure where we are in God by how we're willing to fight for our brother.
Mm-hmm.
And the big picture is defined by many small pictures of men and women who are willing to lay down their life for each other. And God handles the big theater of war, spiritual war going on. But it's just so important, because I know I think it's one of the things they even say in the Marines. They understand that unity, and that's why they're talking about the foxholes. That's why they're saying it's so important about, you know, integrating women in certain areas and men in certain areas. Is like, can we still have that unity where we're willing to lay down our lives for each other?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the very thing that keeps things together.
Right.
And we win wars because men are willing to die for each other.
Mm-hmm. And to take that in consideration, it's like when we were done with that deployment and we landed back in America and I saw an American sky, green trees.
Trees.
Grass.
Yeah.
It was just like I stepped down, and it was just like in one converging moment, it was just like I'm alive.
Mm. Yeah.
And that awareness of just like I just survived the gauntlet. I mean, I have literally, I have walked through explosions.
Yeah.
And to this moment, I don't have a scratch on my body. Moments away and from rounds shot at me, it's like,
with no name on them. You don't know whose name's on that round.
I should not be here.
Right.
And when I got home, I just...
And
I
brothers
just,
that just, didn't make it. And you know,
your
brothers that walked, that it's like, you know,
Yeah. And it was hard for me because my family at the time were like, tell us what happened. Tell us what happened.
Right.
Hold on a second. Let me get my teeth. Let me sit down. Tell me what happened.
And my teeth or tea?
Like, they would say, let me get my iced tea and I'll sit down.
Okay.
So catch me up. And it was just like...
Really?
This is not talking about the sitcom that you missed, okay?
Right.
And
it's so important because we need to empathize with those who are presently on the front lines for us and they're coming back. They need us to empathize,
right.
Which means walk in their shoes, and you're helping us do that right now. And I appreciate it. So help us empathize. What is it like for someone to come back?
Yes.
What's going through their mind? What's happening?
At this point, it's like I told you, I disconnected for 4 years. I couldn't empathize. I can't think of the word right now, but it's like you have no emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So to come back and now be out of the military, you're like, okay, now I have to, you know, I can have emotions now. And it's like, all right, well, how do I do that?
The first emotion was, I'm alive.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
It's like, okay, now I have permission to feel again.
Right.
And as soon as you're in the land of the free.
Right.
That's when you're able to feel. The first feeling you feel is the one that if you would have felt it when you were there, you might not have made it.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, I lived through this. I faced the gauntlet, as you put it. Wow.
And so I have family wanting to catch up. I have friends calling me saying, hey, man, are you going to, you know, you missed the parties for the last 4 years. Now you got to catch up.
Oh,
and it's just
goodness.
Like, you're so disconnected. And
who
it's just
am
like,
I? What's going on?
Exactly.
I'm a different person.
The person I was no longer exists. And now you're trying to ask yourself and you're like, okay, can we hit the pause moment here? Like what just happened for the last 4 years?
Which is important because if somebody's trying to relate to that soldier as who they were, they understand what you're trying to do, but they're trying to communicate to you. You have to find out who this new person is, because I'm not that person anymore.
Exactly.
And it's going to cause me to walk out of this relationship. It's going to cause me to leave this marriage. It's going to cause me, even leave the family I love, because you will not realize that I am not the same person. But if you are willing to build a relationship with this new man, this new woman who just fought, if you're willing to start again, because you're not the same person anymore after that. You're just not. But it's okay, because that's the price of freedom. The price of freedom is like, but if I have to be willing to say that I am willing to stay with, she has to say, I'm willing to stay with my husband and build a new relationship with this man because he fought for our country. That's the price I paid.
Yeah.
As a wife of somebody who's a soldier that went on the front lines. That's why the whole family, you know, pays that price in there. And many marriages don't make it because they're trying to relate. Let's just get back to where we were. And it's like, there is never getting back there again.
Never will happen.
You know, there's a price. And that was the price for this freedom that we have.
Right. And it was hard for me because, like I said, I just separated. I just started life again, moved to the other side of the United States. Right. And it was just like, okay. How do I do this? And anytime I would think about trying to, okay, what just happened, I would think about those moments when, like, I should have died. And I think about all those moments when the brothers that I had breakfast with, that I was cleaning my rifle with, did not come home.
Yes.
And to think about those two paradigms, it would put the utter fear in me. And I would just sit on my couch and just weep and cry because I was like, it would just scare me.
It doesn't fit. It just doesn't fit. There is no mental intellect, and there is no emotion that could connect with why him, why not me? Should have been me. Why wasn't it me? Why was it him? Why is this? It doesn't even.
Yeah.
It just doesn't fit. You know.
There's just no answer. So, at some point, I'm just like, okay, well, I guess I have to be a person again. So I guess that means getting a job.
Well, they call that survivor's guilt. It's like that people start struggling with. Success. They survived, but yet now they're feeling guilty for surviving to an unconnected, unrelating society who's trying to get you to go back to somebody you don't even know who that person was anymore. You can't believe you thought so.
Right.
Yeah. No, that's not me anymore. And it's like, and then so you got to conquer survivor's guilt.
Right.
You know, and these things are surmountable, and we're going somewhere with this because we want to tell you there's hope. This is your journey. There is hope. But we're also talking to you who's not a vet, saying today is the day, today's Veterans Day, for us to empathize and to focus and get out of your shell, understand what they've gone through, and think about, you know what, I could hire 10 people and they're all the same, but one of them is a vet. One of them is a vet. Why would I? This is the reason why. He fought for you to have that business. She fought for you to be able to have the freedom to have that business. That's why you would hire the vet. Mm. If they're all the same, you know, why wouldn't you hire the one who just fought for the right, the freedom for you to have that business? Why you do that? Somebody says, I can't believe vets get, you know, 10 extra points on the particular test. It's like, dude, they should just take the job. They should just give them the job.
Just give it to them.
There should not be any unemployed vet who desires to work because they fought for that right to be able to do that. So here you are. You were at that point now. You're going, okay, I guess I got to eat. I got to get a job. Yeah.
I guess I have to go through the daily life, and it's just like you try to get groceries, and you try to go and amidst back to, I guess, what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, right.
And it was hard because even then it was just like I realized, like, okay, I have a problem. This is not normal. And I tried talking to psychiatric help or doctors. And
somebody who hasn't been to war.
Exactly. And it was like, this is...
According to the theories of our last MGI... You know.
I'm going in circles. So... I didn't know what else to do. And mind you, this is weeks after being deployed in a combat operation in Iraq. And now weeks. So very little time has passed at this point. And I waited tables in college. So I was like, well, I guess I'll just wait tables again. So
I want to hear about this. We come back from this break. And I'm like, this is so important because of this is where that you think about this man and this woman who was just dodging death, having to take life at times, is now waiting, bringing you tea, and you don't even know it. And you're not even, since you don't understand Veterans Day, you're not even honoring that. And that they're going through this conflict, and this could cost you something dramatic if you don't pay it and don't honor folks in general. Mm-hmm. But you could be not honoring the person who just came off the front lines. Mm-hmm. And outside of God, it could cost you something. We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Did you know there's something written on the Statue of Liberty? With Focus on the Family Minute, I'm John Fuller, and Pastor Tommy Nelson shares those words and their significance.
Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses, yearning to be free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed, to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door. I've always been amazed that the woman who wrote that was named Emma Lazarus. And that's the man that had been dead for 4 days named Lazarus. And so here this woman, whose name is the very idea of life from the dead, greets the masses. Come to us.
A fascinating insight, and you'll hear more from Pastor Tommy Nelson today at focusonthefamily.com/radio.
You know, every one of us go through times in our life where it just seems hopeless. As a matter of fact, I remember watching young people who had on their windshields with vinyl lettering, the words were hopeless. I couldn't believe that. Why would you put that? Don't put that on your, you know, and I can understand maybe it's a cry of your heart. You're going, listen, I need hope. Well, I got news for you that right now on your on VFNTV.com or on your VFNTV app, and you can find it by going to your browser and type in VFNTV.com, and it'll lead you through the steps to be able to have it on your iPhone or your mobile device or your iPad or iPod or your all the wonderful stuff that they have out there. And so, but with that, you can get hope, because you got to understand that, you know, when you think about Abraham, against all hope, in hope, he still believed. It's okay. A lot of times we're looking and said, okay, I've looked at the evidence. I looked at my inabilities. I looked at my finances. I looked at my relationship. I looked at what everybody's saying about me. I looked at all these different things. But you can do that. You can look at your reality. It's okay in God to look at your reality. And in the natural sense, it ain't going to happen.
Right.
But you still can have hope against that hope, but it's a different hope. It's called faith. It says, now faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you don't see. And it's hope. It's that kind of hope. You know, inside of me, it hasn't manifested yet, but what I'm believing God for is going to come to pass. And, you know, and I have a dream. I literally have a dream that God is going to pour out a third great awakening. I know, obviously, you know, that, you know, the church is going to have to be, you know, in agreement with what God is saying. But I'm just believing it. That's why we're on VFN TV and VFN radio, to be able to talk to you and encourage you. Listen, it's God's got good plans in store for you, good plans in store for you. And I have a dream.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat and Steve. Steve is talking to us. It's Veterans Day today. And if you want to find a place that's celebrating Veterans Day today, go to va.gov, and there's a map there to be able to locate one in your area. Go to the Washington, for those that are listeners that are in Washington, D.C., and viewers from Christian Television Network, we encourage you, go to the memorials. Take the time today to focus on those, because freedom's not free. People have paid tremendous price. Money's nothing compared to the prices that many men and women have paid and are paying as we speak. And Steve's talking to us about what it was like to come back now into society that he had fought for the freedom, and how to integrate back in. And tell us what's going on here.
So I've started to work again, or at least attempted to, and I'm starting to wait tables because I didn't know what else to do. And
so you went from actually shooting guns to, would you like some more tea?
Yes. Seriously.
What a huge adjustment. I mean, just huge. Almost it can't be done.
It's you want a loaded baked potato?
Yeah, right.
That's a total new meaning.
Yep. Wow. Kaboom. That's a grenade. That's not a potato.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
And day after day after day after day after day, I would leave work in tears, at the verge of exploding. Because I had no patience, no empathy, no understanding, no ability to connect with anyone that I spoke with.
Are Americans demanding?
That is a
understatement.
That is a dire understatement. And it was, and the only thing I could think of was just like a few hundred years ago, this was considered kings and queens that were waited on.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's we now expect it.
You came from this big impoverished area.
Yes.
The people that don't even know what it's like to have, I mean, like you said, you give them a water bottle, they pour the water out and keep the bottle because it's so precious. Because
it's from America.
It's from America. Then you actually come into America and you see all of us taking it for granted, the blessing that God, we're saying, God bless America, is like,
bro,
more?
We've already been blessed.
We've been blessed already.
Oh, yeah.
And now you're waiting on, you know, Americans. And this is Veterans Day. It's why we're talking about it, because we need to have a different perspective of our veterans.
Yeah.
We have to understand. We barricaded and blocked our veterans from getting to their memorials. That's just a travesty. And these are the ones. And now, here Steve is waiting on tables, which is a paradigm shift you can't even make, from demanding, you know, give me some more. You forgot my pickles. Give me some of this. Give me some of that. And it's like, do you treat your mama like this at home? I mean, you know, it's crazy the things that people, how we dishonor each other.
Yeah.
But honoring vets, okay?
So at this specific place where I worked, we had a patio outside where they would sit. There was probably 15 different tables. And if you've never waited tables, each server has like a section. They have like three, four, five tables. Well, there was like, you would get like six or seven or eight tables. And where I was, my boss kept putting me out there, and I knew, like, I had no patience. I was like, please don't put me out there anymore. This might not end well. And I kept asking and asking.
Even your boss did not understand employing
that. And he kept putting me out there, kept putting me out there.
Did he ever sit down and talk with you about your experiences?
No.
But he knew you were a vet.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if I was, as an employer, it would do an employer good to sit down and say, spend some time getting to know your employees, but especially getting time to know the ones that fought for you the right to have that business so you can connect with them and understand.
Yeah. And during this one night, I got probably four or five tables, and there was a one table was, I think, like five or six people just at one table. And I was running all over, going back and forth. And waiters and waitresses do a lot.
They
do a lot. And this one table, and at this moment, I'm at my breaking point, just flustered. And this lady just goes off on me. She was probably 60, 70 years old, and finger in my face.
She pointed her finger.
Pointed her finger in my face, just starts yelling at the top of her lungs, literally almost spitting at me because I forgot her ranch dressing.
Oh, my goodness.
And
is she okay?
I snapped. And at that one single moment, I went into react mode, and I saw myself punching her in the throat.
Yourself doing this?
Yeah, I visually saw it.
Oh, visualized it.
I visualized it. I saw myself punching her in the throat and standing over her dead body.
Which is something you would have got a medal for
two months back
in the military, but now you're back into civilization. Now they'll put you behind metal bars for doing what you would have got a medal for in the context of that, potentially.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I saw myself visualizing, I saw myself doing it, and then I opened up my eyes, and she's still screaming at me, and I just shut down.
She had no idea what you were going through. There was zero empathy and connection, which was, you have to understand, that's what we're doing to our vets, that we're treating them that way. But war is inside of them.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We've taught them war. We've taught them death. We taught them how to kill. And we don't even honor them for fighting for our freedom, to be able to have this freedom. And you think about it.
And it was just like emotional. All the pain over 28 years just came exploding to the surface. I started shaking. I started crying. I just saw red, and it was like I just left. I just walked away, and I went back to the service station where you get like your refills and your cups and stuff like that. And I was just a mess. I was just crying, and I put my hands on the table, and I just said, "God, I don't know you. I don't know where you are. But if you don't come down here and take this, I'm either going to kill myself or I'm going to kill somebody." And as soon as those words left my lips, it was like somebody was standing on me and they just got off.
Wow, all that pressure's gone.
Gone. Mm. And a peace just flooded my life.
And you weren't a Christian prior to that. You didn't know.
Okay. No. To bring up religion, to bring up Jesus, I was like, bro, don't tell me to put my beer down. That means I can't have fun. That's where my life was at. Like, Jesus was the last thing on my mind.
But now he was the first thing on your lips.
I had nothing else to do.
And you cried out to him.
Yeah. A God I didn't know.
Wow.
Answered me immediately.
And he showed up.
And that scared me more than almost killing the old lady because I knew it was God.
Right.
And it was just like, how do you talk back to God? And you're like,
yeah.
And I'm just standing there. Mind you, the restaurant's hustle, you know, bustling. There's people, sound, all this going on. And I'm just standing here in this corner just shaking.
Right.
And
they're probably pretty much thinking it's still the same thing, but now you have a different paradigm. God's real. God's here.
God,
and I need to say something to him, and I don't know what to say. I just cried out, and he answered, right?
Yes. Goodness.
That's so important because right now people think they need to know stuff, and all you got to know is how to cry out to God, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
How to cry out because
he
shows up.
Yep.
He shows up.
That's what he's been waiting for your whole life, is just to reach out to him. That's what it says. Yeah. In hopes,
Acts chapter 17 is what he talks about.
The dates and times in hopes that you'd reach out to me.
Mm-hmm.
And at that place, there was another employee who was a Navy veteran, and he was sharing the gospel with me throughout the shifts, and it was like, that's okay, that's your thing. I would never really listen to him, but that day I was just like, I was looking for him, and I told him what had happened, and he said, well, let's go get something to eat, and this is after working like 10 hours, and we went out to another restaurant, and
well, I'll tell you what. We're going to finish this conversation on the other side. This is so, so very, very important.
My goodness. Listen, visit our sponsors. They make it all possible. Go to VFNTV.com. You have contact information, web addresses, and phone numbers if you're in Pensacola. Visit Cordova Lanes. Wonderful activities. Sign up everyone in the family for bowling leagues. Youth, bring them all Saturday morning and let Steve sign them up. Also, if you're in Pensacola and looking for a vehicle, a new purchase of a car or used car, go to Alan Turner Hyundai and visit Glenn Parker. He'll walk you through the process smooth and easy. Glenn Parker is your guy. Also in Pensacola, the Coffee House, Navy Boulevard, fresh coffee, nice sandwiches, and a warm, awesome environment. Go see Rayona and get something today. You want to become a sponsor? Go to VFNTV.com. Check them out today.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I want to thank you for everybody that's joining in on our Facebook. You know, you can get to it by going to VFNTV.com, or you can go to Facebook.com/VFNTV. It's easier to go to VFNTV and click on that. But think about it. It is so cool. Every day, no matter where you are, inside the community with over a billion people now, 1/6 of the world's population is in this particular community. Everybody's saying, you got a Facebook. We got a Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
We got a Facebook, and it's over, I don't know, it's over 5,000. It's just clicking up, and just you're joining us, and we're so excited about that because every day we're in communication. All the highlights that are on your VFNTV app, that's at VFNTV.com, is also on your Facebook, so it follows us everywhere we go. We got a virtual audience, a virtual stadium, if you would, that's being filled all around the world, and now we're in the Facebook community. Thank you, and if you have not yet, you know, go to our Facebook and like us. Go to Facebook.com/VFNTV and click on like. And what does that mean? When you do that, every post that goes out on our Facebook shows up on your Facebook every single day. So you can say, hey, that segment was about me. I want to be encouraged today. Maybe every day you listen to the wisdom moment. Maybe there's God's news behind the news and something's coming up that says, you know, I needed to know what God's perspective, the word is on that particular thing. Listen, this is the conversation that we're having together in the virtual audience of our Facebook. Go to VFNTV.com and click on our Facebook, or at VFNFacebook.com/VFNTV.
Wow. At VFN Radio, we are looking for greater ways for you to be able to connect anywhere you go. We know that you can listen to VFN Radio on the go through the app, but now we also have the podcast. It's a great way for you to be able to automatically get all the segments totally downloaded to your digital device, no matter where you're at. You can go to VFNTV.com and click podcast, and you'll configure it and set it up
so that no matter where you're at, you automatically have all of the highlights automatically downloaded on your digital device. VFNTV.com, click podcasts.
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat Hamilton and Steve Kalaszewski. We are talking about Veterans Day today. We are talking to a vet, Steve Kalaszewski, who did 2 tours of duty in Iraq, and he's talking to us about his transitioning back from the front lines of war, because freedom's not free and the price that he's paid, so we can empathize and celebrate and connect with this, the reality of what it takes to have a country. But then, no matter what, outside of God, none of it makes sense. None of it makes sense. And so here you are transitioning back. You said, okay, it's a couple weeks later. I guess I got to get a job. And you got a job as a waiter. Think about it. From fighting battles to now, I'm going to bring you some tea, and you're going through that moment where this lady begins to scream at you and demand more ranch dressing.
Yep, of not, all things.
Not realizing that her very what you would have got a medal for if somebody's attacking you as a soldier 90 days ago, you know they're going to attack a soldier. That means they're not going to make it.
Right.
But today, 90 days later. You're no longer a soldier, but you're a citizen on the outside, but the inside, you're still a soldier. And here, she's attacking you at this table. Nobody's connecting to you. You're trying to find out what all this means, and you black out. I mean, all you're seeing is red, and everything just, all the things just floods in. And you go back to the drink station. What happens at that point?
And I went back to the drink station not knowing what else to do, and I just put my hands on the counter, and I just cried out, and I just said, God, I don't know where you are, but if you don't come down here, if you don't take this, I'm either going to kill myself or I'm going to kill somebody.
Were you that calm when you said it?
No. At that point, I'm weeping. I'm shaking. I'm at utter explosion. Every pain and just cry in my life has just exploded to the surface.
Right.
And I've got no other option. I've tried everything else. Mm-hmm. And as soon as those words left my lips, it was like somebody was standing on me, and I just got off.
Like an elephant was on your shoulders and just stepped off. God removed the pressure off of you that quick.
And a peace just flooded, absolutely flooded my life, flooded my just where I was standing. And that scared me more than almost killing the old lady 5 minutes ago.
Right.
Because I knew it was God.
Right.
And I had no idea how to respond.
No grid.
Right.
Nothing.
And
it was just like, you're like, how do you talk back to God? And it was that moment of just like, God just responded to me.
It reminds me of Acts chapter 17, where he says, God chose the very seasons and the times that you would live, even your very address, to do one thing, to see if you would reach out for him, though he's not far from you.
Yep.
And if that's the moment, he was there all along.
Yep.
Setting that up.
He allowed her to come to me.
He allowed all that, everything. But then you cried out, and that's what all he wanted.
Yep.
And he responded, which shows you this pressure on us is a spiritual pressure, isn't it? Because God can take that pressure off. You're thinking you need medication. You're thinking you need, you know, to end your life or end someone else's life. All this crazy stuff's going on. That's the same pressure. It's spiritual. You wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness. And all that heaviness was spiritual heaviness that just the one cry for God can just wave his hand over you and it ends instantly. The pressure is gone, like an elephant getting off your chest or off your shoulders. Isn't that awesome?
That's powerful.
Crawl into me and I will answer you. That's what Israel did under great bondage. They cried out to God and say, free us from all this captivity and this bondage. And God heard their cries and he responded and he freed Israel from captivity and brought them in the wilderness to meet him. And that's what was happening, wasn't it?
Yep.
He cried out and he answered.
Yeah, and it's amazing. It's just like there was another employee who I worked with who was a Navy veteran at the time as well. And throughout the shifts, he had tried talking to me about Jesus and talking to me about the gospel. And it was like, that's okay, dude. That's not my thing. Mm-hmm. But that night, I was looking for him. I was like, hey, I had to tell him what had happened. And he said, "Oh, that's cool." He said, "Well, let's go get something to eat." And we went out to another restaurant, and I was 28 years old, and that was the first time I heard the message of Jesus Christ.
Beautiful. Mm.
And I remember sitting across the table from him, and it was just like, this is what I have been searching for my whole life.
Right.
Whatever I have to do, I says, I want to know this Jesus that right. you're telling me about.
Because just because you cry out just because he responds to you don't mean you yet know him.
Yeah, that's you just so encountered important. Him.
Right.
Now you got to yes. make a choice, and you have to accept him and ask him to come in your life. Because there's right. a lot of people that say, he touched me. It's just yeah. like, all right.
Yeah.
But there's got
to
be
only
that
to have the same
moment.
Pressure come back in your life again. Well, what yes. happened is like, right. well, no.
Sevenfold.
Yeah, the kingdom yeah. of God was being preached to you. You experienced the kingdom. Now you have to invite the kingdom into your heart. You have yes. to invite the Lord in. Wow, yeah.
Yeah. So in that, it was amazing because I had fought for freedom and heard people talk about freedom and providing that blanket of freedom
right.
only for the first time to ever encounter freedom in Jesus Christ.
That's true freedom.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about different governments and our government in America. We talk about the United States Constitution, but realize when they wrote the Constitution, they wrote the Declaration of Independence, they said one nation under God. See, these men yeah. had freedom with God before the nation began. And America is a byproduct of the kingdom of God.
Right.
And so we're fighting for the founding principles of this nation. We're fighting for what you just found out.
Mm-hmm.
This God. When we say one nation under God, that's what you were under darkness.
Mm-hmm.
But when you cried out to the one who said that we will lift this, I'll lift this nation up, he responded, didn't he?
Yeah, immediately.
That's still beautiful. That is so beautiful.
Yeah.
And so what would you, so here you are, you cried out to the Lord and the Lord answered you. And he began to take you through a process of healing and because those kind of moments, everything that's ever happened in your life surfaces. I mean, it's like how about one tragedy at a time? Why does everything have to come up at the same time? Because they're all been built up by the enemy trying to take you down.
Right.
So he just piles them up and throws them on you. But God delivers us from those things. And so it was God that began a journey in your life as you began to, he says, those who follow my teachings are really my disciple. Then they know the truth and the truth will set them free. So what happened as you began to learn the truths of God when you said you made Jesus the Lord of your life? What happened as you learned more and more, and we're still learning as we walk in God, right?
Yeah, you never stop learning. But I was just like, I went through that process of just getting related, being connected with a family of believers in Jesus Christ, getting discipled.
Yeah.
Understanding the fact that, okay, you know, he says bear fruit in keeping with repentance.
Right.
It's not just saying a prayer and then just being like, oh, I'm good. It's like you got to go through and spend time in the Word because that's just the beginning.
He says you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. So if you want to be free from all that stuff that's happening to you right now, you don't do that by just saying a prayer.
Yeah.
You've encountered freedom itself at that point. Now you need to get to know freedom.
Yes.
And when you become his disciple, you're learning the teachings, you're following the ways of the creator of the universe, Jesus, who gives you the ability, like a flashlight, to look at all these dark situations. You go, oh, my goodness. Yeah. You know, it's like revelation comes to you, enlightenment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd say the biggest thing, if open your Bible.
What a concept.
If you don't have your Bible, if you don't have a Bible, get one.
Yeah.
And don't just get one just because. Get one that you can understand.
Yeah.
Get one that you can read. And don't just read it like you do a math book.
Right.
Cry out to God. And don't just say, I pray to God every day. It's just like, okay, cool. Does he talk back?
Right.
Do you hear his voice?
How about abiding? I mean,
yes.
Yeah.
That was the huge thing for me is just like when I began abiding, and you can go to iabide.org, very simple. And to know the fact that God is talking to me, and that awareness of like, do you know who I am? Do you know what I'm just like? Are you sure you want to? Really?
Because when you first experienced him in the drink station, you didn't know him yet.
Not at all.
And when you said, I want to know you, then when you began to abide with him, y'all began to build a relationship. You and God, through an abiding relationship, he just continually reveals himself.
Yes.
To you, he kind of has our number,
yeah.
You know, but he wants to hear from us, you know.
Yes.
And you get to know this God. That's what happened through an abiding relationship, right? Discipleship and abiding.
And that was the huge thing for me. Is just like as I was reading through the Bible and reading through specifically what Jesus was saying, it was just like I got to change some things here. There's some things that needed to get cut out of my life.
Right.
But it was. But God is just so good because it's just like when you encounter Him, you realize that He's so much better than anything that.
Right,
that you have to give up because he's worth it.
And there's two things we want to say at this point is if you don't know Jesus Christ yet, if you don't know the creator of the universe, you don't know this God, that Steve is talking about, you can meet him today. Go to meetmyfather.org, meetmyfather.org. We shared a couple of our stories there and even Steve's stories there. And we want to introduce you to him through his son, Jesus Christ. And then we want to bring you into an abiding relationship with him. We got a simple abiding plan available for you at iabide.org. You can request your free abiding plan today. You just fill out the simple information there, and immediately it'll be sent to you in your email. Understand this. Reverend Billy Graham, that everybody's been talking about and talks about, you know, continually. Dutch Sheets, another man of God who looks and begins to explain things that are taking place. Another man that loves Jesus, has been walking with the Lord for quite some time, who's seen heaven and seen God, Rick Joyner, over and over. And we're saying again, listen, abide, 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 because that's where you get to know this Jesus.
Yeah.
That's where you get to know him. And it's impossible to do anything outside this abiding relationship. Request your free plan today at iabide.org. It's Veterans Day. We're celebrating. We're recognizing our veterans. And we come back from this break, we want to hear more about a perspective, the veteran's perspective. I have three questions I want to ask you when we come back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Here we are. Yes, VFN TV, the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your gifts. Amazing thing, because it can't be built by human hands. Things that God does cannot be built by human hands. So make sure that you join in and just offer up at VFNTV.com and sponsor and become an underwriter today. Listen, we are shining the light, keeping the conversation light on all who want to be in the light, who listen, our audience. That's right, VFNTV and the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your love gift. Sponsor today, partner today, become an underwriter. Go to VFNTV.com and follow the prompts.
I thought about you yesterday.
Oh, you did? Thank you. Yeah. Oh, Pat?
No, you.
Oh,
you.
Thank you. Hey, wow. Yeah,
that's nice. You didn't think about me?
Well, you know, Greg's trying to lose all this weight, you know.
Yes,
he's
thank
on this, you know.
Thank
and
you.
So Teresa is the woman God gave me. You know, she needed to go pick up something, and so we happened to stop at his bakery that I took you to.
Oh wow.
And I saw this cannoli.
Oh, actually, the bakery with the wet cake that was like we shot at a daycare or whatever it was.
Talk about that bakery.
Yeah. You don't wear flip flops in a high crime zone in Jersey. I'm thinking, like, how do you run? You know, they got this Floridian, you know, sitting here, and we got these kids looking at us like, we're packing, you better get out of here. You know, it's in your diaper? I mean, come on, how could you be packing? He's like a little small kid. We had to do a 5-point turnaround in a playground in Jersey with flip flops on.
All right.
No.
You should have seen the pay. He goes, oh my gosh, I'm wearing flip flops. I got to change my shoes.
Yeah. What was the lady's name that sold you shoes back when you was little? No, back when you was younger. He was younger. What was her name?
Her name was Home Girl.
Home Girl. Yeah, and he told me about her before we got there.
And he didn't believe me. You should have seen the look on his face.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. You're calling her Home Girl? Yeah, why would you call her Home Girl? You know, and of course he goes there.
And we walk in the store, so he's like, yeah, right. Okay. Home Girl, that's her name. So I walk in. And she says, hey, yo, what's up? What's
she
up?
She does. She's about 70.
Yeah. She said, this is home girl. What's up?
Yeah.
I got some kicks for you. I got some shoes. I got some Louis. What you want?
Yeah, she sure did. She really did. And the second she found out that Home Slice wasn't going to buy nothing, you know, she just shut down, didn't she?
Shut down. It was that or either the fact that you pulled out the phone and tried to record her. Home girl.
Oh, did I get it on video? That would be really good because people just don't believe that was.
That was funny.
It was a moment. And then, of course, then we're trying to, you know, bust out of there with flip-flops on. And right in front of us is like, you know, bad boys, what you going to do? Remember that? Right in front of us, you have the Jersey police that are like drawing down on this car. In front of us, and I'm not driving, John's driving, you know, so we're lost. This GPS is stolen. And so here we are, right in front of us, there's no way to get around. We're literally right in front of a takedown, right? It was a takedown in front of us.
I mean, it looked like what's that? Cops, the show Cops.
Yeah.
You know, we should have just turned on the music in the car and watched it. It would have been like, an early.
He's like, back up.
Yeah, back up. Because, when you start shooting, but you now know at the Empire, when they start shooting.
Oh, yeah, man.
You know, it's not just the bad guys' bullets that hit things.
That's right.
You know, and so he's like getting closer. You know, the worst thing in the world is to be in a circle with having a gunfight. You know, I mean, I'll never forget that. I was hunting once and the
you hunted?
Yeah, that was once. You hunted once?
Yes, once. I my dad's a hunter.
I fished once too, I think. Once.
You never fished?
Oh, I fished.
I remember taking you fishing, teaching you how to catch mullet. Remember that? We're not gonna bring up how we caught them, but we caught a lot. Remember how they were just there's nothing like a stick of dynamite. No, that's not true. There was no dynamite, but anyway, we caught a lot. So many, they were just jumping all over the place. And we caught so many, it was like we cleaned for days.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
For days. And we were explaining, to John, this is a fin. This is a fish's mouth. And, we've been fishers for quite some time, huh?
Oh, yeah.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Of course, joining me is Pat and Steve. We're talking, today is Veterans Day, and we are really trying to get a perspective, and I really believe it's going well. I really feel like we're getting a more dimensional understanding of what this day is about. And how horrific it was to be able to block veterans in any way from anything, jobs, opportunity, houses, memorials. I mean, come on. And we need to begin to honor those who have, from the beginning, I don't care how old the veteran is, and including their family, understand they have a different husband now, a different wife now that she's back from being on the front lines, that he's back, and that we have to honor them, help them out. In the context of that, and Steve, I appreciate you sharing your story and your life and how God was the answer. The freedom that you were fighting for in so many different areas of your life, war revealed the fact that you were fighting for was freedom in God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And so there's somebody out there. There's three questions I want to ask you. And I appreciate if you would talk to this aspect from your own personal experience. The first one is, there's a man or woman that's out there right now,
yeah.
And they are thinking horse, saddle, man. I mean, they're out there, and they're getting ready to go. They're in that zone. They've kind of disconnected from their emotions so they could do their job.
Yep.
They're having those paradigms of here we are trying to save our life. Who's for us? Who's against us? Is America even standing with us? My own congressman said he's not going to fund me in this war. Yet this little 3-year-old boy is eating his food. All these paradigms are going on. And some of their brothers and sisters didn't make it.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're being injured with some sort of brain injury or some sort of physical injury, some IEDs going off, and all these paradigms are going on. What would you say to them? Because the truth is, some make it, some don't make it. That's why we don't want to go to war. War is ugly. That's why we don't want to do it. But if we do go to war, we all need to go to war together and get in and get out. What would you say to this person on the front line right now that's listening that has not yet... found this freedom that you found, because at any moment their life could come to an end.
You just don't know.
You don't know.
No matter all the things that you've done, the good things that you've done, me personally, if one bullet would have been a different direction, if God would not have covered me walking through that explosion, I would be eternally separated from Jesus Christ. I would be in hell.
Yeah.
And that's the question, is that just because of all whatever, you just don't know. If you stepped outside the friendly lines, that doesn't mean that you're coming home. Because that you're in a Humvee and you've got armor, that doesn't mean anything. The only reason why that you woke up today is because God breathed into your life.
Mm.
Is because God gave you the ability to walk. And if you don't know Him, you can cry out to Him right now and say, I don't know Jesus Christ.
Mm.
I want Him to come into my life.
Mm.
It's not religious.
Right on the front line, right there where you're at.
Right on the front lines, whether you're in the chow hall, whether you're in your room, whether you're walking down to the PX, whether you're sitting on the Humvee and you're on watch, you're behind the turret, you're on patrol, wherever.
Right.
God is not one location. He's everything. He's everywhere. And he's waiting for that cry.
Because he says in Acts 17, like we said, that he was right there in that restaurant when you cried out. Instantly, he responded.
Yeah.
And you were more fearful now of this God you found out is real. Then think about it. If you're all concerned about the government that might not be openly standing with you, the media that's just doing these terrible things in regards to how they're responding, you know, a disconnected public, and you're wondering what you're doing on the front lines, and it's just kind of converging on you. I just ask you right now to do the very same thing that Steve did. Just cry out and say, God, if you're real, show yourself to me. I need you. I don't know you, but show yourself to me. Be honest. Be sincere. Don't be religious. Show yourself to me, and he will, won't he?
Immediately.
He really will. And once that happens, everything's in the perspective.
Yep.
And then you want to get to know him.
Yeah.
You want to
make
him
choice.
The Lord of your life.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Yeah, yeah. And then, so I want you to have another perspective here for us, you know, for this is vet that just, you know, he got his orders now, or she's got her orders all typed out in that beautiful, ugly paper they give you to be able to say, these are my orders, I'm about to go back to society.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And everybody's going, man, you're so lucky, you know, you're so lucky. I have 3 more weeks left. I have 2 more months left. I got a whole another year left. And you see another crew coming to take your place who just got there.
Mm-hmm.
And you're still in the zone now. Talk to that man or woman now that's there on that aircraft. They're looking at folks around them, and they don't even know what they're about to face. And they're tentatively, potentially going to face it alone if they don't. Then what would you say to them now? Yeah. So they would not have to. They need to prepare themselves for this.
Mm-hmm.
How could they do that? Talk to that person.
You can't expect others to empathize what they have never walked through. It's just unfair.
Yeah.
But you're not alone. You never have been. It's just your focus on what you see. And the reality is just that God is for you. The answer is not in a medication. The answer is not in a relationship. It's not in a marriage. It's not in a job. It's not in a house. It's not in anything other than Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. This transition is not going to be easy. It's not a going through a separation and transition package that they give you when you're separating or reading through a couple bullet points and figuring out how to write a resume.
Right.
You went through 2 years or however many years you went through to be able to deploy. Mm-hmm. Be honest with yourself that it's going to take time to be able to transition back, but that transition is only going to be able to be doable through Jesus Christ.
That's right.
That's it.
And not try to get back to who you were, because you're not the same person anymore.
Yeah. Right?
You're a better person.
Yeah.
You fought.
So yeah, that perspective.
We have freedom now.
Yeah.
Because you fought. You did what heroes have done in the past. You stood up and fought for this country, mm-hmm. and you're not the same person anymore.
Right.
And I think about this, you know, you're talking about unable to empathize. There's one thing about Jesus. He was tempted in every way, yet without sin. So he's able to empathize with you as a soldier. He's able to empathize. So when other people can't empathize, God can feel your pain.
Yeah.
He can feel what it's like to be rejected. He can feel like what it's like to be in the midst of a whole bunch of folks and you're for them, but they're against you.
Mm-hmm.
You're hoping that they make it, but yet they're trying to nail you to a cross. You're here only to help them, but yet they're betraying you.
Right.
You know, that's Jesus. Jesus understands your pain.
Mm-hmm.
He understands that. And he could say, you know what? I came down so I could feel your pain, but people, you know, lied on me. People denied me. People did not acknowledge me. I just did good things for them, healed them, forgave them, delivered them. And some did, and they followed me, but some didn't. And then they nailed me to a cross.
Mm-hmm.
So if anybody can empathize with your journey, it would be Jesus.
Yeah.
And so you want to find that empathy. The empathy is found at the cross of Christ. It's found in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And then as you cry out to him and then get to know him, he'll begin to heal and reveal himself to you on that journey, can he?
Absolutely.
It's a powerful, powerful thing.
And it's that's where the reality is just that the fact that it's only through admitting the fact that this pain that you're trying to carry, this tension, it's because you're trying to do it apart from Jesus.
Right. Trying to be mm-hmm. God.
You're trying to do it, and it's just like you were never meant to do it.
Nope. Mm-mm. Nope. And this is the last person, and this is the majority of America. that they're walking in the fruit of those who've laid down their lives, laid down their loved ones, sacrificed their health, became a different person because they went to the front lines. They fought for us.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the Americans they can't connect to that. I mean, yeah. They didn't do it, but yet they benefited from it. They're walking in the fruit of that. And so talk to them. How can they honor it's Veterans Day?
Yes.
And really, Veterans Day is 365 days a year because you wouldn't have a country and freedom outside mm-hmm. those that have fought for it. What would you say to the typical American citizen today?
Seeing a veteran is not your opportunity to ask them what their political views are in the war. It's that moment to just say thank you. It's that moment to say, I'm for you because you fought for me. It's that moment to say, what can I do for you? And don't be surprised when they get jittery because there's a text message going off or there's an engine just backfired. It's like that's normal,
right?
Because it's not normal to you doesn't mean that they're different. Pray for them.
Hire them.
Hire them.
Be patient.
Yes. Understand the fact that they're going through something. Share with them, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, tell them about Jesus.
Pray for them.
Pray for them.
Yes.
Support them.
I'm here for you.
Yes. Just
you were
listen
there for
to
me.
Them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And if they don't know what to say, mm-hmm. that's okay.
Right.
That is okay. Let them go through that time.
Right. Right. And that's so important. Let them know that I'm committed to you. I'm committed to you. And you get a chance to hire a veteran. You get a chance to stand there for them. You get a chance to stand beside them and say thank you. Tell them, even though they, you know, they don't even receive it, tell them because there'll be a day that they'll get back into this place again and that will come down and land in their heart to realize, I have perspective. I fought for this country and that was important. That's why we have it. Thank you to all of our veterans this Veterans Day as we honor you and we celebrate you this Veterans Day in America.
Don't forget to visit our sponsors. Go to VFNTV.com. Collect all their information so that you can make sure to visit them. Phone numbers, web addresses. If you're in Pensacola, go to Taqueria Ogies. Oh my goodness, fantastic, authentic Mexican food. You don't want to miss it. Also, in Alabama, Mobile, Brunson Air and Heating. All of your heating and air conditioning needs, they'll come out and service, even give you a quote. VFNTV.com today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.